You're listening to
Pull up that easy chair and sit right down for the best music in your town. On
you're on Way Back with Johnny. Now don't turn that dial. The program's about to begin.
The Millers of Mother's Best Flour bring you that lovesick blues boy, Hank Williams.
I got a feeling called the blues.
Howdy, friends and listeners, Way Back with Johnny. This here's your old host with most country western music and bluegrass music, Johnny Woodlock. And for the next 3 hours, I'd like to invite y'all in to a 3-hour celebration to the life and the career of none other than Hank Williams, Hiram Hank Williams, as he was born. And he sadly passed away 73 long years ago in 1953, New Year's Day. With that, I'd like to celebrate him and his music here on CFRC 119 FM and also www.oshawarocks.com. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
A piece of driftwood on the sea. May you never be alone like me. And I sit here alone in my cabin. I can't see your mansion on the hill. Take my advice or you'll curse the day.
Good morning, friends and listeners, Way Back with Johnny. This here is your old host with the most country western music, Johnny Woodlock, for the first program of our Way Back show for the year of 2026. So I'd also like to remind you all that we are still coming to you via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario, as well as being heard over historic CFRC 119 FM in the limestone city of Kingston, Ontario, Canada. We can also be heard throughout the Greater Toronto Area and the Old Durham County through www.oshawarocks.com. As well as YouTube worldwide. With that all mentioned, I'd like to welcome y'all to this, the first show back to our regular programming on the Way Back Show. With that mentioned, this past New Year's, that was Thursday past, January the 1st, marked the 73rd anniversary of the sad passing of Hank Williams Sr., who was found deceased in the backseat of his baby blue Cadillac on January 1st, 1953, on his way to a New Year's banquet in Canton, Ohio. Today, I would like to remember the hillbilly Shakespeare, as he is often referred to, with a lot of his great music. But first, I would also like to make mention that this program will be dedicated to my good friends Peter Trenum and also Bob Gardner of Niagara Falls. With that, Hank was born in Mount Olive, Alabama on September 17th, 1923, growing up in and around the Montgomery, Alabama area, and soon took the world of country music by storm. Having at one time, between 1947 and 52, ruled the country music charts. He is also known for having 11 number one hits and many top tens as well. Hank was born, of course, Hiram King Williams, and soon would change his name in 1937 to Hank. He is today known as the true Hillbilly Shakespeare and the King of Broken Hearts and Country Music. So today I would like to welcome you all to the Way Back with Johnny show and also make mention that we're going to open up today with none other than Hank Williams Jr., Bo Cephas, as Hank used to call him, and a song called When He Sang. Then we'll follow with Hank Sr. himself and an all-time classic as introduced by the King of Country Music, Roy Acuff, and Cold Cold Heart. With that, I would like to welcome you all in and say good morning to each and every one of you listening on the Way Back with Johnny show over this great channel. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
January 1st, New Year's Day, 1953. For most people, the first day of a new year filled with hope and promise. For Hank Williams, it was the last day of his life as a man and the beginning of his life as a legend.
Feeling, and his words kept telling of his.
singing of the heartache and the troubled times that he'd seen. He painted his life story in country music with an old guitar. And you could feel his sadness when he sang. It's because he lived in his music and songs of broken dreams and homes. He knew the pain of losing and the meaning of goodbye. Unashamed, he closed his eyes and let sadness flow. When he sang, it made you want to cry.
Folks enjoyed so much here the other time, and we're happy that we could bring him back to the program. A fellow that writes just as many songs as most anybody in the country and sings them just as well when it comes to the country style of singing. Hank Williams.
This is the best song we've ever had, financially. A tune called Cold, Cold Heart.
This man is a Hank Williams Senior Historian, and we welcome Bob Gardner from Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada. Does any one song stand out from the rest?
Yes, there was one I'll never forget. I still get chills up and down my spine. It was Cold, Cold Heart. And Hank was putting so much emotion into this song, there were tears running down his cheek.
Well, I'm envious of you, Bob. You saw the great Hank Williams perform, and you also saw the tears running off both cheeks.
Well, yes, friends, following those opening songs by Hank Williams, I would like to once again welcome y'all back in to the Way Back with Johnny show here on CFRC 119 FM and also www.oshawarocks.com. With that mentioned, I'd like to send out a few dedications as we usually do to open the show. First, I'd like to send out a song to my beloved Mama Dawn for her today. And, you know, one of Hank Williams' earliest influences musically was Ernest Tubb. So for Mama Dawn today, it'll be an old ET classic called Your Mother, Your Darling, Your Friend. Then we'll follow with a song going out in loving memory of my late grandmother, Granny Marg, Mom's mother, who would have celebrated her 93rd birthday yesterday, the 3rd of January, born in Grand River, Cape Breton Island, 1933, and passing away in 2010. So in memory of Granny, it'll be a song by Roy Acuff, who had a great influence on Hank as well. So from the king of country music, Roy Acuff, it'll be If I Could Hear Mother Pray Again. And then we wrap up this set with an early classic by none other than Hank Williams again, and his all-time classic called Build Me a Cabin in Glory Land. And this one's going out to my good friend Willie LaPointe, who loves a good gospel song, especially when it's a Hank Williams gospel song. So with that, we'll send this one out to the mayor of Verona, Ontario. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening to this great tribute to Hank Williams today.
In this world there is never but one love, that's the same from the cradle to the end. For you know there can never be another like your mother, your darling, your friend. She's like a star in heaven that's shining to guide you when you go astray, like a cloud with a real silver lining. She's one love that God marked okay. She loves you, so trust her forever. Don't doubt her, she never pretends. She'll never forsake you, no, never. She's your mother, your darling, your friend. Star up in heaven that's shining to guide you when you go astray, like a cloud with a real silver lining. She's one love that God marked okay. She loves you, so trust her forever. Don't doubt her, she never pretends. She'll never forsake you, no, never. She's your mother, your darling, your friend.
Happy seems those days of which I dream, when memory recalls them now and then, when with what
rapture sweet my weary heart would be if I could hear my mother pray again. If I could only hear my mother pray again. If I could hear her tender voices then, how happy I would be, would mean so much to me. If I could hear my mother pray again. She used to pray that I on Jesus would rely and always walk the shining gospel way, still trusting in her love. Seek that home above where I shall see my mother some glad day. Her work on earth is done. Her life crown has been won, and now she is at rest with him above. And some glad morning she, I know, will welcome me to that eternal home of peace and love. If I could only could hear her tender voices then, how happy I would be, would mean so much to me. If I could hear my mother
happiness. But all that voucher given me is conscience, I guess.
Hi, this is Don Reed of the Statler Brothers, and you're listening to my friend Johnny Woodlock.
Counting flowers on the wall that don't bother me at all. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do.
Now, friends, it's once again that time in the program to take our weekly trip up into the mighty Ottawa Valley, the valley we call our second home here at the Way Back with Johnny Show. As we take our weekly trip up to the valley, I'd like to send out a couple of songs to some dear friends and listeners. First of all, it's going to be a song going out to my good friends and radio family, Uncle Ray and Aunt Margaret, in Eganville, Ontario. For them today, it'll be the legendary Ralph Carlson from the early days of his career, and a tribute song to Hank Williams called Hank's Old Guitar, which was also made famous by the legendary Freddie Hart. Then we'll follow that with a song going out to my good friends Vic and Linda May Garbutt of Arm Prior, Ontario. For them, it'll be a song by Papa Joe Brown and Be Careful of the Stones That You Throw. And then we'll wrap up with a song going out to my good friend Tom Wilson out there in Brockville, Ontario. From Tom Wilson back in the 60s, along with his Western All-Stars band, it's going to be an all-time classic called My Son Calls Another Man Daddy. With that, I would like to welcome y'all in and also say good day to all the Valley listeners. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
Child that's lost, I heard its mournful cry. tired one time. She stopped, and I knew right away that it was gossip, not flowers, she had in her mind. And this is what I heard my neighbor say. That girl down the street should be rubbed from our midst. She drinks and she talks quite a lot. She knows not to speak to my child or me. My neighbor then smiled, and I thought,
unless you've made the mistakes in your life, be careful of stones that you throw.
A car sped by and the screaming of brakes, a sound that made my blood chill. For my neighbor's one child had been pulled from the path and saved by a girl lying still. The child was unhurt and my neighbor cried out, oh, who was that brave girl so sweet? I covered the crushed, broken body and said, the bad girl who lives down the street.
Unless you've made no mistakes in your life, be careful.
In sorrow, I can't wipe the tears from my eyes. My son calls me mother and daddy. The right to his love I've been denied.
My son called another man daddy. my good friend Johnny Woodlark on Way Back. Stay tuned for classic country music.
And the same Lord.
Well, yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program to pay tribute to an interview guest of honor onto the program today on this, the 73rd anniversary of the sad passing of Hank Williams. So I'd like to welcome a man who, along with his whole family, are keeping the legacy of Hank alive and well to this day in Montgomery, Alabama. They are keeping alive the memories and the history of Hank Williams with the museum their father opened in 1999 called the Hank Williams Museum. With that, we'll follow this first part of a two-part interview with, of course, an all-time classic by Alan Jackson, which is called Midnight in Montgomery. With that, welcome in, friends, and here now is Daryl Jackson from Montgomery, Alabama.
Thanks for having us.
Well, it's a pleasure. So I understand it's 73 years since Hank has passed away now.
Yeah, almost 73, I guess, next week.
That's right. So. Yes. Hard to believe.
Yes.
So, how did the Hank Williams Museum first get opened, or how did it start operation?
Well, that's a long story. We can do a short version of that. Our father was a big country music fan, listening to the radio, singing along, like most of the kids did in his day in 1940s in rural Alabama. Hank had become a regional radio star in 1944. He was playing a show at my dad's rural schoolhouse, and my dad had noticed a crowd of people that gathered at a service station across the highway from his home.
Okay.
He went to check it out and recognized that that was Hank, and Audrey and Lucretia were there.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Hank asked my dad if he wanted a Coke, and of course my dad said he did, and he got one. Hank bought him a Coke. So after that, you know, he was probably the biggest Hank Williams fan there ever was, and of course dad couldn't afford admission to the shows, but he sure had a story to tell.
For sure, for sure, yes.
He became a lifelong fan of Hank and started collecting things. Anything he could find of Hank Williams, he would collect. And his great aunt Doris gave him a pocket songbook of Hank's, and that was where his collection began. We still have that here on display at the museum.
Nice.
His second encounter, I guess, with Hank was in about 1947. Hank came to book a show at my dad's school, and Hank, I guess, did his own booking in that day, so he would go and set up a time and a date and arrange to have a show. Word got around the school that Hank Williams was in the show, so of course my dad took off and gathered ground to find him. Hank went to leave that day and discovered he had a flat tire on the car.
Okay.
He didn't have a jack, so he asked the boys from the school to gather around and help lift up the car, put it on blocks, and Hank changed the tire. So later on that afternoon, he asked them if they listened to the radio show, and they said yes, they did. So they're all listening, and he calls them the Lightwood Flat Fixers.
Okay. Yes.
That was a shout out to my dad on the radio that day. My dad later on, as a teenager, became in bands playing music and things, encountered somebody named Lamar Morris. Lamar Morris went on to marry Lucretia, Hank's stepdaughter.
Yes.
And so my dad stayed in touch with him and met Hank Jr. along the while, and Merle Kilgore, Hank Jr.'s manager.
Of course, yes.
Became friends, and at some point during that time frame, they all decided collectively that Montgomery needed a museum for Hank Williams, and my dad's reaction to that was, well, I'll build it, and we'll have it.
For sure, yes.
He went to work, and that's what he did in 1999. He built a place to house his collection and anything else that anybody wanted to put in into the Hank Williams Museum as we know it now.
I see. Okay. And now the statue was also because of your father. It was erected down in Montgomery there.
Yeah. He was the director of the ceremony for that.
Okay.
and had, you know, he was sort of the liaison between the family and the sculptor and the city and the, you know, taking care of all of that kind of thing. And yes, he was definitely part of the equation. And in fact, on the back of the statue, you can see him and my mother's name as a thank you.
Oh, nice. So, yes, yes. So let's go into
Cecil Jackson.
Okay, sure, sure. So let's go into a little bit of the history of Hank. He was born September 17th, 1923.
Yes.
How did he find his love for music originally?
It is probably debated, but I mean, the cowboy westerns, the radio shows, and of course mm-hmm. the Grand Ole Opry, and with Roy Acuff, Ernest Tubb, Jimmy Rogers, all those were his, you know, influences at the time, the singing cowboy. Some of the vaudeville shows and medicine shows that came through the towns back in that day were surely, you know, influential to him to be an entertainer.
For sure.
If you listen to an early version of Lovesick Blues by Emmett Miller, you'll hear some similarities in Hank's singing style back then.
I see.
And of course, Rufus Payne or T-Tot.
Yes.
You know, he taught Hank how to express himself and work a crowd here in the streets of Montgomery.
I see.
So I think that, you know, singing along with his family on the porch of their home, his mother played organ at the church, and she told him in grade school that if you'll get good grades, then she'll buy, you know, I'll buy you a guitar.
Okay.
And he did.
Yes, yes.
So
I see.
That's a book, his mother's account in the Hank Williams Life Story book, which is a great read. For it gives a lot of insight into that time and how did Hank become a singer.
Okay. Yes, yes. And so looking at the fact that Hank, as we mentioned, it's 73 years since he's passed away, but what makes his legacy so unique or so alluring to the fans nowadays?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's a great question. If you knew the answer to that, I think everybody would do it. It'd be worth a fortune.
Exactly, yes.
Hank had a way of connecting words and emotion that, you know, resonated with people. It was simple, but it painted a vivid picture. He painted the pictures that you couldn't see with your eyes, kind of thing.
Exactly.
If you don't know the magic part of it, I mean, people are still searching for whatever that is.
Yes, they are. We are. Yes, that's for sure. Yes, exactly.
Famous for about 5 years, died at 29 years old, been gone for 73 years, and we really still don't know the answer to that.
But he was unique in every aspect of the word. Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, we were mentioning about the songs. Tell us about how he came up with the Luke the Drifter idea, if you would.
Oh, yeah. Well, the story goes that the industry was very concerned and fueled by, you know, jukebox money in that day, and the religious or spiritual songs probably wouldn't go over too well in the honky-tonks and bars. So MGM allowed him to record under a different persona, you know, to preserve the Hank Williams honky-tonks.
Yes.
But still release the sermon-type music under Luke the Drifter, under the, you know, Luke the Drifter brand or
exactly.
the persona that he came up with.
Yes.
So I think that was a compromise to not tainting the, you know, the Hank Williams image and the honky-tonks and keeping the jukeboxes going.
Exactly. I understand, yes. And he sure could tell a story through those songs, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Those are some of my favorites, for sure.
Exactly, for sure. And do you think he really went, pardon my ignorance here, but through the hell that they've always portrayed, or and the pain and everything, or what is your thoughts on that, Daryl?
You know, his family describes that as, I think one of the quotes was, they were poor, but they didn't know it.
Exactly.
His mother kept things together. They didn't know, I mean, obviously they didn't have the finer things in life, but they had, each other and singing on the porch, and went to church, and mm-hmm. Hank would sing, his mom would play organ, and he would sing in the church, and I guess the short answer to that is no, it wasn't as bad as what people think, but
it wasn't all glory either. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Growing up in the rural South back then, mm-hmm. Without any money, I mean, you did what you had to do. I think that that's part of the Hank Williams story too, because he had to learn, or he learned how to work the streets, selling peanuts, shining shoes, singing songs, getting people to pay you for something.
Exactly.
So I think Rufus Payne saw that as an opportunity for Hank as well. You know, if he had that kid that he could teach to do this stuff, then they both make more money.
Yes.
So,
okay.
So that became Hank's entertainment style. And he got to see firsthand what worked. Because if people gave him money, then that worked. So he'd do more of that, you know?
Exactly.
So through necessity, I think he became the entertainer that he was, from those upbringings. Like I said, not having anything and wanting something. And, you know, later in life, the Cadillacs and the suits and the painted ties.
And it gave him a drive.
That was Audrey, but, I think that's what drove him to do some of those things.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It drove him, or it gave him a drive to accomplish or search for it.
Sure.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
absolutely. I believe that.
Exactly. Now, I understand that he did the first Fall of Snow, but did he do any other Christmas-style songs?
You know, not that I know of, other than there's documentation of him singing a lot of the Gene Autry songs, the Christmas songs. I can only imagine that it was Rudolph and Frosty and, you know, traditional Christmas songs at the time. But I don't know of any recordings of any of those.
Okay.
Maybe there are somewhere acetates or something out there where a radio show got recorded or something along those lines. But people would tell the stories of Hank singing Christmas songs and things. You can find the shows that were pointed out, maybe they were radio shows, or maybe they were just live shows, Mother's Best shows.
Okay, yes, of course, yes.
But we don't have any, or I have not personally heard of any of the traditional Christmas songs
that he had recorded or anything. No, I see.
Yeah, I hope they would turn up one day. Maybe they will. Who knows?
Exactly. And I was going to mention, along with that, is there unknown recordings out there that we don't know about, or is there things still to be found?
Always. I mean, there's always a possibility.
Yes,
you know,
of course.
It is always a possibility. I mean, the tear in the beer and
yes,
tear my beer and those types of things.
And the old log train.
You know, and possibly the idea now that vinyl's made a little bit of a comeback, more people have record players, and they may be willing to drag out their grandfather's box of old whatever they thought was records or something and play it, and who knows?
Exactly. It's part of the legend. Exactly.
Yeah. I hope it does. I sure do.
For sure.
Silver Eagle, lonely road, was on my way to Mobile for a big New Year's Eve show. Stop for just a minute, see a friend outside of town. Put my collar up, I found his name, felt the wind die down, and a drunk man in a cowboy hat took me by surprise. Shiny boots, a nudie suit, and haunted eyes. He said, friend, it's good to see you. It's nice to know you care. Then the wind picked up, he was gone. Was he ever really there?
she's always singing there. He's always singing there. Oh, Hank's always singing there.
Now, friends, following that interview with our good friend, we are once again back here on the Way Back with Johnny Show. And with that mentioned, I would like to turn back the years to the golden era of Shellac Records. That was, of course, the old 78. But with that mentioned, let's turn back the years to the Vinyl Blast from Vinyl Past Weekend. As we remember, the legendary hillbilly Shakespeare, Hank Williams. But first, we must open the vinyl vault door. Now that the vinyl vault door is wide open, let's turn back the years to 1955, but it was originally recorded in 1949. This song has long haunted me and has been one of my favorite Hank Williams songs in the collection that Hank recorded back in the day. Yes, it was recorded between August 1948 and May of 1949 as a radio transcription. It was later obtained by MGM Records, which released in 1955 this single, and by February of 56, that 70 years ago this year, 30,000 copies had been sold worldwide. So I hope y'all enjoy this classic as we once again remember the all-time classic called The First Fall of Snow. And now, I would also like to make mention that I obtained this 78 RPM from a record store here in town many years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, while traveling through Kingston here. And this is going to be played off that original 78 RPM record, Shellac record. With that, let's turn this up as we hear some bacon frying on this old classic. Welcome in, friends. Now here's that all-time classic called The First Fall of Snow.
I talked with a stranger, so sad and forlorn. His garments were sackcloth, all tattered and torn.
First fall of snow.
Yes, friends, we have once again reached the end of the first hour of the Way Back with Johnny show here on CFRC and also www.oshawarocks.com. As we send us into the second hour of our program this morning, I would like to once again share that it was in 1984 on this very date that we lost the legendary plowboy of Canadian country music, the legendary Orville Prophet, who passed away following a heart attack while shoveling snow at his home in Edwards, Ontario. That, of course, was January the 4th in 1984 at the age of 61. Now, in honor and memory of our late hero, Orville Prophet, we're going to play an all-time classic called When He Opens Up Those Pearly Gates. And then we'll follow with an all-time classic by Hank Williams again and his all-time classic called Calling You. So with that, I'd like to say that we will be following with two more great hours of country music following this. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening here on this great channel.
Waiting for a judgment morning, you will see when St. Peter does the honor.